Okay, so what we've seen is that there's an interesting mix of factors as to what causes the tour of Hezek Brishos, whether it is the knowledge of people of what's going on, whether it is the mitzvah itself that somehow excuses you, or whether it's something particular about certain mitzvos that create a intensity and a need to rush around. So this has many practical ramifications, and a lot of them are subject to machlokes. I'd like to just share some of those points today to kind of round out that topic a little bit. So one thing we mentioned yesterday was, what about somebody who's involved in pikuach nefesh? So pikuach nefesh, that should have its own parameters. Happens to be, we saw that Reb Meir Simcha yesterday said that wasn't a part of this whole mazik brishus concept, because it's all totally on the understanding. He understood it as purely a function of that, of people realizing that others are rushing around on Erev Shabbos, for example, which was why he was inclined to say it shouldn't matter what your intention is, it should matter more what the environment is, and that was why he had to struggle with the Ramah that the Ramah quotes through the Nimuk Yosef, the idea that somebody who is Mazik on Erev Shabbos but doesn't have Kavanas Mitzvah is not Pater. The Or Sameach, or Meir Simcha, struggled with that, because as he understood it, it was purely a function of the environment. And therefore, he said, Pikuach Nefesh is not going to cut it. So even though Pikuach Nefesh, the mitzvah, and the chiyuv is the most intense, nonetheless, it's not about the intensity of the chiyuv, it's about it's about what people are aware of. So this is a discussion in general, as you could imagine. So before getting to the question of ambulances and the like, so first of all, what about stam cars? So what about driving on Erev Shabbos? So I would think it's important to emphasize that driving is a far more dangerous activity than simply running around in the street, and therefore presumably requires a different attitude, and that one should not take the forgiveness that is shown to the Ratz Bereshus to a driver. And I think that that is certainly the policy. I'll read to you that that's what it says here in the Sefer Mishpat HaMazik. I have a little bit of a glitch, which I'll tell you in a second, but I think bottom line, certainly this is, should be what is followed, so I'll just emphasize this as a matter of practicality, and this certainly something that's very relevant, because sometimes we are tempted to drive quickly on Erev Shabbos. Not so much even because of the mitzvah component, although that's a part of it, but more because of that language of the Rambam, I guess, that the concern that you're not going to have everything ready before Shabbos, you're not going to be where you need to be, the biggest concern. So it's always important, as a matter of practicality, to leave as much time as you are able to make it possible to not have to rush when driving. Then we have the extra siyata d'shmaya that seems to be provided, that people magically show up the places where they need to be, because even though everyone has a story of getting stuck somewhere, proportionally it seems like that happens far fewer times than you would expect. That there seems to be some kind of siyata d'shmaya that gets people to their destinations before Shabbos a much higher percentage of the time than would seem physically possible. So that's also a part of the equation, but rushing and driving dangerously should never be allowed, and that's not, the mitzvah certainly doesn't justify it. And so here the language that the Mishpat HaMazik has in quoting two achronim, I think, should be the bottom line here. He writes, Yesh Shekosvu Kimasha Tiru Larutz Be'er Shabbos Bershus HaRabim, this heter to run around Bershus HaRabim and Erev Shabbos, Zehu Davko Larutz Beregel, that this is specifically on foot. Why? She'ein Shchiach Baza Hezek, because that's not something that's likely to cause Hezek. So it raises the danger factor somewhat, but it's not something which has such a likelihood of actually causing a problem. And he adds, "Ein bezad mishum sakanas nefashos," and it's generally not mortal danger that is attached. Avalinsoa berechev mihirus mufrezes. But for somebody to drive in a car in reckless speed, ein shum heter mipnei shezem v'sukan. There is no heter for this because this is dangerous. V'im hizik chayev l'shalem. So if one is mazik, so he is chayev to pay. Now, again, I think this, before anyone leaves with any other conclusions, I think this should be the bottom line. You have to be extremely careful in driving always. And that's true even on Erev Shabbos, whatever other considerations you have. Nonetheless, the threat to life has to be the first priority. Happens to be that he quotes here, and as a source for this, the Nishmas of Ram. Nishmas of Ram is, you might be familiar, is a contemporary classic on issues of halacha and refuah, and he organizes it to correspond with all the sections of the Shulchan Aruch. So he quotes here that Nishmas of Ram b'shem Hagar Shaz Orbach, and also Hagran Karelis Nisim Karelis Shlita b'sefer Chutshani. So wasn't able to check this Chutshani. The Chutshani is a little, although he has topics mixed up in different volumes, so it's hard sometimes to track down the volume. I'm not sure if I have to check again on my shelf at home if I have this volume, because it would be mixed in with something else. So I wasn't able to see this inside. But the quotation from Reb Shlomo Zalman, which again, I would like that to be the bottom line, I'm not sure that's exactly what it says. That you can find the Nishmas of Ram online on HebrewBooks.org. And you can look it up. It's quoted a little differently there. There are two statements here. There are two points that are not necessarily completely interdependent. How interdependent they are is a little bit connected to our whole understanding here. Right? The question of, are you allowed to go quickly? And if you go quickly and you cause damage, so how are you accountable for that? So one could split the two. One could say, one way or another, one could say that it's usur to go quickly because of the danger, but nonetheless, there could still be a ptur because of, let's say, the other factors that connect to the question we've been talking about. Or one could also say the opposite way. One could say that it's mutter to go quickly because of the mitzvah pressure, and again, I would say that with tremendous caution, but just theoretically. And that nonetheless there'd be a chiyuv, because it's not just about the mitzvah. So one theoretically could split these two statements. Here, the way he has it is both ein shum heter and in his chayiv l'shalem. Again, I think important bottom line, but in the quotation of Nishmas Avraham, if you take a look, it seems like he's saying that there still would be a ptur for hezek in the category of ratz b'rishus, and that there is a general heter to move more quickly. However, maybe it's taken in combination with the other part of what he writes there, that, and it's a strange formulation because it seems a little bit contradictory. He says the care one has to have when driving is phenomenally different than the care one has to have when walking. And he compares it there to somebody walking around with a bomb that could explode at any minute. So he's emphasizing first how when we talk about doing something carefully, it takes on a whole different dimension in that context. But you have to figure out, in terms of the bottom line, about whether there actually is a ptur or not. It's unclear whether the quotation, I mean, maybe there's a different edition that has it a little differently, but the quotation there, you can see on HebrewBooks.org, is a little confusing on this point. But again, bottom line, it seems that this is certainly the way one should act. I don't want anyone to get any misunderstandings about that. Again, to not drive quickly, to not drive dangerously, and to continue to assume all responsibility for how anyone is impacted by that. Hi.
Yeah, just two questions. Firstly, what's the point that's being put into contention by Solo's Allen here? Like, what's the issue?
Well, the question is, when the Gemara says that there is apparently both a heter and a ptur connected with a ratz b'rishus, that maybe that only means on foot. But in a car where things change in a very, very significant way as far as the possible consequences, it might be a different story. That's the issue, essentially. I think that is the proper attitude to assume, that it does change and that it is a different story. Hi.
Also, the second question is, like, if let's say most, imagine every road, especially at least in America, has speed limits that you're supposed to abide by. So I know we're saying, like, you know, go fast, go slow, but at the same time, let's say you're a pedestrian and you know that, like, I feel like obviously if a person is speeding, that's one thing. Well, let's say the speed limit is 35 miles an hour, okay, and this guy is driving 34 miles an hour on a side street, which could be pretty fast. Isn't it sort of also on the pedestrian to be aware that there could be a car traveling 34 miles an hour?
Yeah, so, you know, traffic rules are what they are, so therefore there is a chiyuv on both sides. Also, it's dangerous for a person to jaywalk. It's dangerous for a person to walk in a way that could negatively impact the circumstances on the road. So for sure, there's absolutely a responsibility that goes on pedestrians also. That's why you can get ticketed for jaywalk. But in any event, so that's in terms of normal mitzvah. But what about if it's pikuach nefesh? So we mentioned the Meir Simcha. The Aruch HaShulchan talks about this. The language of the Aruch HaShulchan is that he seems to mix the factors a little bit, because he says also that the heter primarily is, let's see if I can actually read you the lashon of the Aruch Sameach, or the Torah of the Aruch HaShulchan rather. That would be helpful. The language of the Aruch HaShulchan is, this is in Shinayin Ches Yutes, that Eimu Mod Mizad Dechol Misha Ratz Dvar Mitzvah Hevi Kibrishus. So one should not learn from our sugya that every mitzvah is considered to be rishus. The shiny Erev Shabbos is Mano Bahu. Right, so first of all, Erev Shabbos is different because it's not just the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that creates a intensity also and nervousness. Aval Bishari mitzvos, she mitzvah larutz, and even other mitzvos will say, okay, you should still run because you should do things enthusiastically, you should do things bezrizus. However, mikomakum ein lo larutz, kolkach ad she yuzak bo hamahalach. There's running and there's running. You can still run, you can do things quickly without doing things dangerously. So other mitzvos, even if we say get to them quickly, does not mean that you have a license to create any more of a dangerous environment, and this is based on the Chavos Yar that we spoke about yesterday. And we get a chance to look at the Chavos Yar, by the way. It's a very kedai to read inside, because again, it's one of the major issues here. Maury, are you...
I had a general question before, but more so over here. Can we extend what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying to maybe the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, since there's a lot of similarities drawn between Shabbos and...
Well, how, in terms of preparing for Yom Kippur, in terms of...
I imagine that it matches it with the intensity. There might be, I think there's probably an union of preparation, but it's a necessity of Yom Kippur also, but I'm just wondering if we can be...
Well, that's actually interesting, because, you know, it could be a little bit of nafkamina between the explanations, because there isn't as much to prepare for Yom Kippur. It's not that everyone is getting their meal, although, you know, there is aspects of that. But it more goes to the Rambam's formulation that you may have things to get out of the way before Yom Kippur, perhaps. But the Aruch HaShulchan actually continues after this quotation. It says, "Mihu baratz l'inyan pikuach nefesh." Right. So now, what about a pikuach nefesh situation? O lahatzil min hadleika o min hamayim ukiyotze b'zah. Or if somebody is going to save somebody from a fire or from water or anything like that, vaday demikri d'bereshus. That is called Bereshus. D'ha'a chova alav larutz b'chol kocho v'lo gara me'er of Shabbos. So a pikuach nefesh situation here, fundamentally different than what the Meir Simcha said, right? That because the nature of what's going on requires you to run at top speed, if you're going to save someone's life, you have to go as quickly as possible. So therefore, that is going to be similar to Erev Shabbos, and one would be putter for that reason. Now, it's also, there's a couple of other elements that are involved in this. Here, again, in the Mishpat HaMazik, he quotes another point from Rav Shlomo Zalman, also from the Nishmas of Ram. that if somebody is driving an ambulance, he quotes here, Kishanosei Elahatzel Anashim Imhizik Benesia Bemihirus Pater El Shalem. That if somebody is driving an ambulance and he ends up causing a hezek while he's driving in order to go save someone's life, then he's pater. So why is he pater if we just said that if you're driving fast on Erev Shabbos, it's not included in the tour? So why is driving the ambulance any different, mitzvah to mitzvah? So the answer is, l'chara habir bazeh, it sounds like this is what he's adding. I don't believe this is in the Mishmas of Ram, this is the Mishpat HaMazik's interpretation. Habir bazeh shechevan shehu asuk b'hatzalos nefashos v'adois, since we know that he is involved in definite atzalos nefashos, which means presumably not that he's definitely going to succeed in saving a life, but that he's definitely got a need of, there's definitely a life that's under threat. And therefore, even though you don't always know that with an ambulance either, but presumably it's a much more likely situation requiring attention for pikuach nefesh. So if that's the case, ein lo lachshosh misafik sakana lacherim, which is not such a pashut statement, because this is something you could ask people who are involved in first responding. This is a complex balance. But his assumption is that somebody who's involved in the mitzvah of Hatzalas Nefashos is going to be validated in prioritizing that over worrying about the suffix of hurting somebody else. And in contrast, of Alber of Shabbos, Saint Hazel and Sobim here is Mokum Chashas on a Sakana Lacher. And that when it comes to Erev Shabbos, there's nothing in that allows you to go fast when it potentially causes a Sakana for others. I don't know who's up first.
Jed was.
Oh, that's beautiful. You agree he was up first?
Yeah, I'll give it
a Jed. All right, yes.
Did he address
Suffix?
Did he say anything?
Well, that's what he's saying here, that he's understanding that where Shlomo Zalman was getting at is that the priority of the definite Sakana Tefashos situation that the ambulance driver is addressing is a greater priority than worrying about the Suffix of what could happen along the way, which again is a complicated cheshbon over there.
Suffix of what will happen.
He's going to damage somebody else is a suffix compared to the vadai that he's heading to.
Would it change anything if the ambulance calls maybe not succumbs to fascist, it's a suffix succumbs to fascist?
Yeah, it probably would. That's what I was also alluding to before, the assumption that it's vadai. So what's the vadois on? It's not on that he's definitely going to save a life, because we don't know if he'll be matzliach with that. So it sounds like his vadai is on that it's definitely a situation of pikuach nefesh. Even that is not necessarily a vadai. But either way, I guess his point is that the percentage of likelihood that there's a real sakana that he's heading to is higher than the likelihood that it's going to be mazik somebody else. But that's it's tricky. Now, it's also true that the ambulance, at least people know, and that's actually the law, right? That people know you see an ambulance and get out of the way. So that should be a cheshbon here also, although I don't see that being identified here as a cheshbon. But presumably that's also relevant, and that's especially what the Or Sameach was saying isn't here, right? When the Or Sameach was saying his position that Pikuach Nefesh is not a Ptur, it's because he was contrasting it with Erev Shabbos, where everyone is running around and we know they're running around. But let's say the person is driving an ambulance, which wasn't necessarily obvious in that case. If you're driving an ambulance, so then people do know to get as far away from the ambulance as they can or step out of the way. So presumably that should also enter into the cheshbon. Shmuley?
Yeah, Rabbi, I just answered my second question.
Awesome.
The first question, can we just apply the chasam sofer here exactly? Of that, just as, let's say, if you didn't need to do the mitzvah, then you can't bother your onus here. Same thing with
the chavos yaris.
Oh, chavos yaris, yeah.
Right.
So same thing here. Let's say if the guy just broke his arm and he isn't going to die, then
assuming they know that, but that's the hanache here is that he's traveling for pikuach nefesh purposes. So you wouldn't necessarily say that every ambulance, no matter what they're going to, is the same story. Although, again, it seems to factor into some of the questions: are we looking at his kavana? Are we looking at how people will react? Are we looking at the trade-off of different concerns here? It's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, but isn't it
isn't the sort of pattern where we just said is that when an ambulance is driving, it's never kind of at fault. That's automatically.
Well, only not that it's never kind of at fault, but that the idea that people should know to be more careful for themselves, that should apply to any time an ambulance has got lights and sirens on. So if that is the key cheshbon, then that should be relevant. It's interesting here, they're not bringing that up necessarily. Okay. Now there's another factor here also, just before I take Maury's question, and this is discussed also, that in general there is a takanas chachamim to pater a rodef achar harodef, that if somebody is chasing after another person who's chasing after someone else to kill them, so then that's inherently a dangerous pursuit. And nonetheless, we have to factor in that if we're going to call everybody liable for this, so then no one's going to do it. And no one's going to get involved in these jobs. So this is a major social topic in general. The question of liability for first responders, for ambulances, for police officers, that we have a delicate balance here, because on the one hand, we don't want to say that, okay, if you're involved in something such as saving lives medically or criminally, whatever it is, that you have a total free pass to not be responsible at all, because that's a very dangerous scenario for society. But we also have to figure out where to draw the line so that you're not discouraging people from getting involved in life-saving in the first place. Right? That if the idea is that if you make a mistake when you're rushing to save somebody and you end up making some kind of a misstep, that you are always going to be liable. So then someone's going to say, all right, why should I get involved in this? Chassam Sofer has a tshuva about a woman who got sick in some kind of attack, and I think the detail was that I think she was somebody who was working in a house, she was a maid or something like that, and the woman of the household, she saw this was happening to the maid, so she tried to give her, I guess, whiskey or something like that that's supposed to revive her, and instead she accidentally gave her maybe bleach or something like that that unfortunately poisoned her. And so the question was liability for that when you were trying to save someone's life and you end up causing more harm. So what kind of liability do you have? And also it comes up as far as galus or tzeach b'shogeg. So there's also a chiluk that some sofer discusses that maybe that person would be putter from galus because they were trying to help, but at the same time maybe still should have some kind of a kapara, because either way this is, he quotes the idea of magalgalin chov l'idechov, that if such a tragedy was created through one's efforts, even though they're technically innocent, but maybe there's something that they need to fix. And that's how the Chassam Sofer understands that situation. So this is very complex, the whole mixture of factors. It's something that society struggles with, because paramedics get sued and police officers get sued and the like, and the question of should there be a blanket takana, so to speak, to say that if you're pursuing pikuach nefesh, then you're not going to be held liable for mistakes. But that comes with a big risk, because then you're saying that people involved in these things don't have to be careful at all, and that's not what we want for society either. Or for someone just to decide, okay, as long as I'm on a call, I can not worry about anything else. That's not going to result in a safe society. Also, so it's a delicate balance. That's a little bit what you see here. Hi, sorry to put you off for so long.
I was going to ask about an ambulance and if that would count as awareness and understanding, but then there's also, saying that it does, I think brings an interesting alchemy between somebody who had Sala and an ambulance. My brother's actually hit, I remember his car was hit by a regular car driving to a Sala call. We didn't sue.
Yeah, but that's also part of the controversy about Hatzalah. The question of how to how to handle that, because a part of there's red lights and there's blue lights, there's different madrigas of what you're allowed to do. No, that's a real law. Yeah, no, there's different madrigas of what you can do in terms of traffic violations, in terms of going through red lights, in terms of speeding. So what kind of a license is being given to what people in order to take liberties with the safety of the environment is a tricky question.
From an awareness perspective, but just from like an ability of what would count as rishus for that driver.
Yeah, that's a part of what factors in. It's not a simple situation. We should read you also the language of the Shulchan Aruch. I'll call that up. I don't think I asked you to look at this, but just so you could see it inside. So the language of the Shulchan Aruch is in Choshen Mishpat Shin Pei. Sorry, it takes a second. Shin Pei Gimel, it says Rodef Shai Rodef Acher Chaver Lahogar, O Acher. I'm sorry. Rodef Shai Rodef Acher Chaver Lahargo O Acher Achas Merayis Laonsa. Somebody is chasing to kill someone or to be mani someone. B'shaver Kalim Bein Shal Nidaf Bein Shal Koladam Pater Shoyim Es Chayv Nafsha. So if the Rodef causes damage, monetary damage, he's pater because of Kim Leib the Rabbi Mina, because he's. He is pater because he's in the middle of trying to kill someone. But what if somebody is trying to stop the rodev? So the end of the Shulchan, end of the seminary says, "Ve'echad sherodav acher harodev lahatzalos anirdav." Somebody who's chasing after the chaser to save the pursued. V'shaver kalim bein shel rodev bein shel kol adam, and he ends up breaking things, whether it's that of the rodev or it's of anyone else. Putter. Why is he putter? Kadesh lo yavo milimnim lahatzilis and yirdov. Because we don't want people to say, what do I need this for? I'm not going to get involved because I'm going to end up with a big bill. So therefore, we putter. Hi.
For going back to the Ramah and Purim, of that, just that's here, the ambulance, that obviously you need the right thing,
yes,
and the right mindset, like activity. How does that fit in with Purim about doing those things when it's not quote unquote required?
Okay, so let's get to that. So that's important. It's an important thing to clarify. So now to segue into the related but possibly different topic of Hizik B'Simchas Purim, Hizik B'Simchas Chasen, or something like that. So here we find the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, quoting a Ptur. But the Ptur, it's important for us to understand, does not seem to be based purely on the mitzvah factor. And the Ptur is sourced in the Trumas Hadeshen. You had a chance to see the Trumas Hadeshen? So the Trumas Hadeshen in the Psakim and Siman Reish Yud, which itself is really sourced in earlier Rishonim, the Mishnah and Sukkah, and Daf Memhei. I don't think we got to it last year. But the Mishnah in Sukkah has a phrase about Shomtim Luvehem Midei HaKetanim. So it's not clear what that means, whether it means that people would grab Luvavim away from each other somehow as part of the Simcha, or does it mean something else? It's 2 days in Tosfos, what that means. So one of the days in Tosfos is that, and this is the one that ends up getting quoted by the Trumas Hadeshen and others, is that because that's part of what they do as Simcha, that's a part of how they celebrate, so therefore they know what they're getting into, essentially. And that's the understanding between them.
Can you apply that to anything?
Well, what do you mean? What's an example of anything?
So when they go outside, they know what they're getting themselves into.
No, so the question is, what happens? I mean, sometimes certain things that, if it's a normal thing that happens when you go outside, then yes. But if I go outside and somebody punches me in the nose, so why is going outside a reason for him to punch me in the nose? So it depends what you mean by anything. Anything that is a part of our mutual understanding as we
accepted that sometimes there might be an ambulance rushing.
Right, so then if that's the case, then the ambulance might be putter. If the ambulance is rushing unjustifiably, then it might be chayiv. If I am careless in how I relate to the ambulance, it all depends on what's in that sentence. You know, so anything, yes, if anything does actually fit the facts. So here, just to say this a little bit on the quickly side so that we can move on next time, but here, the idea seems to be specifically because they understand that this is what's involved in the celebration, and therefore there's a mechila going into it. Now, there's a lot to figure out about that premise. First of all, if the Trumas Hadeshen, if you read it inside, the Trumas Hadeshen, it's really one line where he says that, and the rest of it he was saying something else. Because what he was discussing there was a situation where it was the middle of Hoshanas, I believe, and somebody hit somebody else in the context of Hoshanas. But it's not your normal shul situation, or maybe it is your normal shul situation, I guess it depends on what your normal shul situation is like. But there, the assumption is that one guy was really trying to hurt the other guy, and that he waited for this opportunity to somehow inflict some pain on the guy who he hit. So the Trumas Hadeshen's point basically is that that is not justified to intentionally hurt somebody else. In the context of the mitzvah, that is not going to be included in whatever p'tur there is. So in that context, he says that yes, there's a p'tur when it's b'shas simcha, but the p'tur doesn't extend to an intentional plot to hurt someone else. However, that can be very hard to prove, which was, I guess, part of why he did this plot this way. So that becomes a question of how you're actually going to adjudicate that, because you have to be able to prove. And we're talking about motzi min hamuchzak. You want to make somebody pay for their damage. So we say motzi mechaver lo haraya. So it becomes complicated if it's an environment where there could have been a p'tur, except that the motive is different. So proving the motive can be hard. Now, to balance it off on the other side, so as he notes, and as the Rama notes, and Adazov note, that it is possible and maybe appropriate for a society to make safeguards here and to make takanas, so that if there's a perception that it's just too dangerous, too many people are somehow mysteriously knocking each other over in the middle of Hakafas or Hoshanas or Purim or whatever it is, then maybe that society will decide, okay, from now on you are liable for whatever happens, because people are somehow always having accidents. So that may indeed be the case. That may indeed be appropriate for people to have such policies and have such attitudes. I also wanted to just mention, Shmuley, because you were asking before, as they're saying, this is not based on any mitzvah motive necessarily, but rather on the understanding of people. And you asked me during Seder about, you know, why should somebody be putter for drinking when they're not obligated to get so drunk? And I was responding to you then that I don't think this is about the drinking. This is about the dancing and things like that. And it's not an excuse for anything that you bring about while drinking. And I think that's, again, very important to emphasize also while we're talking about dangerous activities. Notice that the Mishpat HaMazik, just to supplement that, says this explicitly. So just to, this is also worth emphasizing. It says, Mishahizik Bapurim Mitoch Shechruso, somebody who causes damage because he's drunk, Chayiv B'Tashlumin, he is obligated to pay for that damage. Kilo Hayolo Lishdakar Kolkach Ad Shelo Yishlor Ba'atzmo V'Yazik. It was not appropriate for him to get so drunk that he ended up hurting someone else through his drunkenness, and this is based on the Amshul Shlomo and Bava Kamma in the third parak. So, in any event, so that's an important point to emphasize, and again, I think that's separate from this whole discussion. When we're talking about Purim, it's not based on the assumption that people are drunk, and indeed, drunkenness should not be invoked as an excuse for this or for anything. You have a responsibility not to get yourself intoxicated. If that means don't drink in the first place, that's also fine. But certainly you have a responsibility not to drink ad kedei such risk to anybody else, and you would be liable for that. But over here, we're not necessarily talking about drinking. We're talking about people are dancing around. They're dancing around in a labidic way, and they're grabbing stuff. So this is all understood to be a part of how people celebrate. So then maybe there is a p'tur within limits. So the poskim also write that people understand if it inflicts minor degrees of harm. If it inflicts some major degrees of harm, and if you trash somebody's house because that's how you enjoy the Purim party, so you will still be chayiv for that. That if you're inflicting major degrees of harm, you're still going to be held responsible for that. There are those who maintain that this whole tour in the first place is itself a machlokas rishonim, because the Rush, and that same tshuva, the Rush that we've been looking at in Klal Kuf Aleph for his different parts, so in Os Hey, so there he describes a wedding party, that party in the sense of a group, that was accompanying the chassan on horses and mules, and one of them rode too fast and bumped into the chassan's ride and ended up causing a lot of monetary damage, and the Rush says he's chayiv. So some understand the Rush there to be arguing on the premise of the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Trumas Hadeshen is quoting Tosfos and the Aguda and other Rishonim who thought that there is a general assumption this is how we celebrate and therefore we're pater. So the Rush is perhaps arguing on that. Others said it's not really a machlokas, it's all Tali and the Metzias. That's how the Bach understood. The Bach and his Tshuvas wrote that the Rush doesn't understand differently than the other Rishonim. It's just all a question of what is considered to be accepted. So whatever activity is a part of the Simcha, so that's where there is a general Mechila. And if not, so they're not, and it's all a question of the Metzias. So it's a question whether the Rush disagrees. It's possibly a machlokas, the Rush and other Rishonim, whether this p'tur exists in the first place, and others say it all depends on what the circumstances are, and that's true about the Rush also. Maury?
It seems like the Bach would then sound more like a support for the Rosh Hameach, and it sounds like the Rosh Hameach would be arguing with the Mishpat HaMazik, rather, is arguing with the Rosh Hameach.
Which Mishpat HaMazik, right?
The one... Specifically about Purim.
Well, but again, I think we have to emphasize that we're coming from a different tour here. That they're related, they have common elements, but they have their own foundation. So the Or Sameach we were talking about before was really focusing on just, is there a knowledge that everyone should be a little more careful because it's a dangerous environment? But this part, from the Trumas Hadeshen and the Tosfos and Sukkah, the focus is not just on that, but it's that people happily accept a certain level of risk because they want to celebrate. So if that's what's understood, it's an additional level of p'tur. So I don't know if you can say that there's a... if you can compare the Or Sameach to this, because they're talking about differences. They're talking about different foundations for the p'tur, which is part of what I was saying to Shmuley's question before, that you can't necessarily bring steers between these two phases because they're built on slightly different assumptions. But even with this whole mechila thing, so there's a couple of limitations we should be aware of. So one is again, if the society, the Beis Din, the leadership decides that things are too risky, so they're certainly empowered to make takanas and to make policies not to excuse these things, and that's included in their responsibility of every society. And it's also a question whether this should include bodily damage. Is this only property damage, or does it apply to bodily damage as well? In some sources, it sounds like it applies to bodily damage. One of the factors that would be relevant is, does mechila work the same way? When we talk about mechila in this context, are we saying that I'm mochel on the pshia, so to speak? You know, that you're not negligent because that's the understanding of this kind of environment? Or is it basically a monetary mechila that the victim is saying, I have the right to collect for these damages, but I'm mochel on that because that's, you know, like the entertainment places that make you sign a waiver before you come in. So the point being, you won't sue me, and therefore you come in to use my trampoline or whatever, and you signed this paper saying you're not going to sue the place. So is that what we're talking about here? That basically everybody who comes to a Purim party or to a wedding party is agreeing not to sue because that's the cost of being able to participate? Or is it a different usage of mechila, that we're saying that we understand what we're getting into, and it's kind of, maybe it is more connected to the Ratz Rishus in a different sense, that we're all choosing to enter into this situation together, and it's not so much the mitzvah or the chiyuv mitzvah that allows it, but it's the Rishus of us all signing on and knowing what we're getting into. So that's also a part of what we have to figure out here, a part of where there are some differences. But part of the difference between hezek to the person or hezek to the objects has to do with the question of mechila, because I can be mochel monetary, I can be mochel monetary obligations, not necessarily able to be mochel physical suffering. And that becomes more complicated. And I'll say here is a little bit of a teaser, because this will leave us more room to talk Purim time. So the question of what allows for Purim spiels, which is a hallowed tradition in our yeshiva, and I may have at some point in history had some involvement in this hallowed tradition, so I'm not coming out right now against Purim spiels, but I will say, and this is why it's a teaser, because we'll have to wait till closer to Purim for me to explain what I think is relevant, but I don't think that Mechila explains it. That the idea that the people portrayed are mochel, and you want to base it on this kind of an approach, that they're mochel because that's the nature of the celebration. So that's not necessarily rock solid, because here we're talking about being mochel on property rights, or being mochel either on charging for the hezek, or you're being mochel on the gezel in the first place, of somebody taking your stuff. But to be mochel on tsar haguf is not as simple. You can be mochel after the fact. Somebody apologized for hurting your feelings, so certainly you can be mochel then. But to be mochel in advance, that you're allowed to hurt me, it's not clear such mechila actually works. And it can be revoked at any time, because the victim can always say, oh yeah, I thought I was okay with this, but now I realize it's too hurtful, I'm not okay with it. And they have the right to do that. They can revoke their mechila at any point. So mechila in the case that we're talking about here, the kind of mechila that's relevant to this discussion, I don't think is adequate to explain the Purim spiels. So you'll have to wait till Purim to hear what hopefully is adequate, but I don't think this is enough. We'll also add that while we're talking about seasonal Peturim, so if we wait till Pesach time, we could discuss the question of stealing the Afikomen. Sorry? And there are those who base the idea of stealing the Afikomen, and why should that be mutter? It's a temporary geneva, and the Gemara says even temporary geneva is also usser. So those who connect that to this Tosfos and Sukkah also, Tosfos and Sukkah and Daf Memhei, and say that there's a heter b'shas simcha, or simcha shal mitzvah, I think that's also questionable, because I think there's a big difference between geneva and gzela, and that's also a teaser. You'll have to wait till Pesach time, maybe I'll explain it then. Just mention one more tshuva about this, which is it makes a chiluk, which I find a little bit hard to understand, but you can think about this. So Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger is a prominent rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, has written many svarim, so he has many volumes of tshuvas, in addition to a lot of other things. He has many volumes on Chumash and many volumes on the Moadim. But in his tshuva, Shaul and Udarshan, in I believe the Chelik Tes, so he has a tshuva about somebody who, in the context of a afrof maybe, caused damage by throwing candy at people, which is, by the way, dangerous. And he ended up breaking somebody's glasses, and the question of whether he's chayiv for that. So he goes through this whole question with Trumas Hadeshin and the Rush and the whole issue of whether there is a p'tur b'shas simcha. And he makes a chiluk, which I don't know if I fully understand. He says that this, either way, he thinks everyone would agree that you're chayiv for this, because the whole machlokas is about the hezek b'shas simcha, that's a part of the simcha, and this is not a part of the simcha, this is something secondary to the simcha, this is something that just comes along with it. I'm not sure if I fully appreciate that chiluk. I think there could be other reasons, and again, in the context of policy and the like, and there are other hesitations one can have, towards being too forgiving about this kind of danger that I relate to a little bit more. But this chiluk, I'm not sure I totally appreciate that you can think about that as well, because especially if it's all about, okay, you know what you're getting into, so then maybe that's still true here when it comes to whatever this common practice is going to be in the locations where that's what goes on. So these are some of the issues that are discussed as far as the sugya. So there's a lot more to say about this, but as man katzar, so I think this semester we probably won't say too much more about it. We'll go on to the other Grumma Garmi topics next time. But there is a lot, you know, question about malpractice and doctors and the like, how much to take into account in terms of this whole balance when you're trying to save lives and also maintain a sense of responsibility in doing so. So there is a lot that still can be discussed, and maybe we'll find opportunities next month to bring a little bit more of that in. Okay, so we will stop here. Who wants to daven for us? Jed, you jumped up first, so...